Good morning. So the last time that I had the honor to be able to preach, I spoke on the power of words. And I haven't been able to shake it since then that there is like so much more that we can learn about the power of words. I see it personally as like 6, 8, 10 weeks of things we could learn every Sunday on the power of our words in different aspects. And I couldn't shake it. And a lot of the time during the day I spend alone going to and through stores or I'm teaching kids. So I couldn't shake it. I couldn't shake it when I was at work being a teacher and hearing the kids and what they say and how they say it and their body language. I couldn't shake what when I go into my stores and do the merchandising. I couldn't shake listening to them. It was like amplified. I couldn't shake what my kids came home saying. I couldn't shake what I'd hear my friends or my family say. I could not shake the power. My sister, Tammy, she has diabetes. And she woke up a couple weeks ago, and she couldn't see. Now, she's my little sister. And for those of you who don't know, we lost my little brother 8 years ago. That was a really very hard and traumatic thing that happened to our family. But my little sister, she's lost a lot of her vision due to her diabetic. And listening to her describe what it felt like to not see, we were at a family function. It was my son's birthday, and we were at my mom's. And she told me after the party that I'm sorry if I didn't, you know, look like I was a really very happy person at the party. I couldn't see. What do you mean you can't see? I can't see. So we talked about it a little bit. And after we talked about it, the words that kept coming out of her mouth were, "This diabetes is going to kill me. This is going to be the last of me. What's going to happen to my kids?" And on and on and on about several exclamations that she prophesied over her life. I mean, if we get right down to it, she prophesied that over her life. I can remember one day, I didn't want to go to school. I'm sure I'm the only person in the room who's never wanted to go to school or go to work on a specific day. And I was in high school, and I said to my mom, "I just don't feel good." Total lie. Absolute lie. And she says, "What do you mean you don't feel good?" So I go upstairs, and this is old-fashioned. We had a hot water bottle. Oh, you put hot water in it, or you put ice in it, and you screw the lid on and made out of, like, kind of velvety stuff, right? And so I put it, hottest water I could get, and I put it on my forehead. Because mom's going to take my temperature and she's going to feel like this, right? So then I decide, because I'm brilliant, I'm going to drink hot water. So then my mouth is going to be hot, right? And my head's, and I have now created like 45 minutes of making myself look like I am sick to my mom. So I don't have to go to school. There's not going to be a test. There's not going to be anything. I just don't want to go. So then my mom takes my temperature, and she says, "All right, go back up and get in bed." Yes! Comic books all day long. By the way, you two don't even get any ideas, Joshua and Isabella. The great thing is that I already know this trick. So I get to stay home. Well, honestly, about 4 or 5 that afternoon, I really started feeling crappy. And I'm like, tomorrow is Friday. I have plans with my friends. Guess who's sick and doesn't get to go to plans with their friends? Me. The power of words. Was it circumstance? You could say, "Oh, it just happened." Or you could really believe in the power of your words. The power of our words dictates so many things. And I know that I've said it. I've said it from this pulpit and this platform so many times. But I cannot get away from the fact that our power that are in our words, I mean, it says right in the Bible. We're going to go to the very first verse. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Proverbs 18:21. death and life. Now, Shelly might tell me she's just not feeling well and she doesn't want to go to see a movie with me. Okay, she may or may not be feeling well. She might just go, you know what, it's not a movie I want to see. I'm uncomfortable seeing that movie, so I'm going to just tell JD that I'm not feeling well. She might just be not feeling well, not feeling comfortable, not doing anything. If she would have said, JD, I really, really feel uncomfortable seeing that movie, that would have been great. Will she get sick later? Maybe, maybe not. That might put a little dent in our friendship. Why didn't Shelly feel like she could come and honestly tell me, I really don't want to see that movie, it's uncomfortable. I don't like the title, I don't like the context. It reminds me of something in my past that could have been a building block on our friendship. It's just simple things like that that we don't even realize we do. Here's the power of words. If I say, where's the, what's the first thing that comes to you? Where's the beef? You're right, Jay. If I say, Houston, we have a power of words. How many of those can we actually say? We can say tons of them. Even their generation, my kids' generation, has the same thing. You see a little yellow furry thing, everybody goes, Pokemon. We know the names of things. I mean, this is how ingrained it is. How did the world start? It was spoken into. Summer, what's your favorite song? So many, right? So, I love the Lord. I love that song. Kyle, what's your favorite song?
Days of Elijah.
Days of Elijah. That's a good song. Why is it our favorite song? Because of the words. When we're feeling heartbroken, most of us have been there. Okay? When we're feeling heartbroken, what do you want to listen to? Crappy, crappy songs that match your need, your want, and your feeling. It's what we do. Why do we do that? Why do we listen to crappy songs that bring us down? Because we're hurt. We're hurt, and we're wanting something or someone to make us feel more comfortable. So we listen to crappy words that say, this hurts. Why do we sing happy birthday? We're happy. We're celebrating. Why do we sing we are family? Why do we sing celebrate? Why do we sing these songs that are really old? Because, I mean, even my adorable nephews back there know we are family or celebrate or, you know, any of the old songs, you know, and now all of the words are going through your head. But the power of words are that. What if we had a God? Now, just bear with me. What if we had a God that stood up there, because many people think this, stood up there with a big stick, and Kay goes to God and says, God, I blew it again. And God says, you're done, Kay, I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm done giving you forgiveness. I'm done giving you grace. I'm done giving you mercy. I'm just done. You have one too many mistakes. Would any of us be sitting here?
Nope.
No, not at all. But when we read in the Bible that God says, my mercy and my grace is new every day, is that hope? Yes. Do God's words have fruit of life? Yes. What we say in mere conversation matters. Amen. It absolutely matters. We can lift each other up or tear each other down, and that's what the Bible says. If I told Kelsey, and Kelsey, this is not what I believe whatsoever, that has got to be the most horrific outfit on you, darling. Lord have mercy, you chose that color. What is that going to do for you? It is. It's everything. That, depending on how you are and how you take it, that can destroy your whole day. In simple conversation, we can destroy people's days or we can lift them up. That's why God asks us to lift each other up, to encourage one another, to be there for one another. Do I agree with every single thing that's going on in Richard's life? I don't know. I don't know because I don't ask. But even if I didn't, does that mean that I get to destroy him?
No.
No. If he has a problem that he's come to me 100 million times and said, JD, please pray for me about this. And I say, Richard, really, when are we going to get past this? Is that for me?
No.
No. It's for me to support him and love him because we all are individuals. My relationship with God is not my relationship, Lee's relationship, and God's relationship. It's my relationship with God. If Richard is stuck in a place, it's not for me to judge Richard. And the words that I say to him can either help or destroy. And that's what it really comes down to, is that we either create a life for us that makes it so we are moving forward. What we say to ourselves, ooh, let's do that. This week alone, Monday the kids had school off. I finished Isabella's room, cleaning it, going through it, building her built-ins. Everything is done except for hanging some shelves. That is it. She is now up in her bedroom, and it is fantabulous, and we had to gut our bathroom, and it was just a huge mess. Okay, so Monday, I spent the rest of the day, all day, in Isabella's room, Isabella and I. Tuesday, she had a doctor's appointment first thing in the morning, and then she had school, and then I went to work. Wednesday, worked all day. Thursday, Heather leaves for Wisconsin. Joshua has a school play, and then we also have scouts. Friday, Joshua has a doctor's appointment. We have Girl Scouts and a couple of other things going on. Yesterday, I worked all day. Today, I'll work after we leave church. So I said to myself, why don't you just call Kay or Karina or Pastor D or Gary and ask them if they can do Sunday? You're just too packed. You're not going to be able to do this. And I'm like, oh, man, bam, I got myself. I did. I got myself. Bam, right there. I've got doubt. I've got hurt. I feel like I'm not going to be able to make God proud. I feel like I'm not going to be able to deliver a message. I don't feel like I have the time to sit and prepare for it all. And I have all this failure that's running around inside my head. How can you stand up there and give God's word and do your very best? And all of a sudden, bam, if you can see this physical, bam, 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 on myself. And I'm like, shut up, Satan. And then I get emotional. And I know that I'm a king's kid. And then I run down all the things that I know. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a king's kid. I'm a warrior. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. And so on and so on. Because the Bible says we have an enemy who wants to devour us, who wants to take us out. And how is that possible? With the power of words. The power of words in our own thoughts. A power of words from a friend or a spouse or a brother or a family member or a coworker. And at times they don't even realize the power of those words. We can tear down ourselves. We can make ourselves sick with the power of our own words. I hear my sister tell me more than, and it hurts. It actually physically hurts for her to tell me, I'm such a failure. Mom's going to have to bury another child. I'm moved and emotional about that, to hear those things. Have you ever been in a conversation when somebody is hurting themselves so much and you just want to grab onto them and you just want to hold them? Because you see something they don't see. I remember a card once that I saw at the Christian bookstore that said, I wish you could see yourself the way God sees you. And I think of that often. The Bible has so many words that talk about the power of our words. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. Down to Matthew 12:37. Negative words lead to regret. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Matthew 12:37. Down to James 3:5. Our tongue is very powerful. We must never underestimate the power of the tongue. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes great speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Just as I used Kelsey saying, Lord have mercy, darling, what would you think in wearing that color today or that outfit? That can destroy somebody's life or their day, depending on where they're at. I don't know. I don't know where Gary's at in certain parts of his life. If I say something about a father, and I know how broken he was, and I was with him, not literally that day, but I was with him when he lost his father, and I saw how broken he was and how hurt. Okay, and in jest, I say, oh my God, my dad is such a pain in the rear end. I cannot stand the time that I have to spend with my dad. And Gary's thinking inside, you get to spend time with your dad. Share something very personal with Karina. Karina's little brother got in a car accident some time ago, and it was after my little brother died. And these things actually went through my heart. Why did Karina's brother get to live and mine died? Why, God? And the very next day, I hear somebody complain about their brother. And I'm thinking, this is one of my very best friends, and her brother lays in a hospital bed right now. My brother is in heaven, and you're complaining about yours. I had swear word went through my head. I did. You donkey, is what I thought. Preachers are people too. It's important that we remember that and know that. We don't know where each other is. That is really one of the reasons that the Bible says, lift each other up. Do not judge. You have no idea. I've known Richard 5 years or so, right around there. Did I know him growing up? No. So I don't know what kind of childhood he has had until he tells me. I know Jay grew up on a farm because he told me. We don't know things about each other unless we ask. I can't stand the color pink. My daughter loves it. She absolutely loves it. She gives me something and she's like, Papa, you want this? No, on the basis of the color, it's pink. That's pretty juvenile of me. It's very juvenile of me. I'm a whole lot better now than when she was little. But on the basis of pink, when we would have tea, there's a green cup, there's a blue cup, and there's a pink cup. And then there's a hot pink cup. Isabella would always try to give me the pastel pink cup. I said, I want the green cup. Very juvenile, very silly. Want to know why? Because I was forced to wear pink when I was a kid. And it wasn't me. And I hate pink. I hate pink. It is, exactly. Exactly. That's all it is. But in my head, I was forced to wear dresses. I was forced to have pink. I was forced to have pink in my hair. I was forced to wear clothes that matched my sister. I was forced to be things that I was not. I didn't get to play with trucks. I didn't get to play with the things I wanted to play with. They were boys' toys. So now I have a child who loves pink. And she let us know she loved pink right away. Didn't she, Gary? She let us know that that was her color right away. And then she will gravitate to people who have pink on because they have pink on. Okay? I know, I knew you were going to say that. But now that power is in my head because I was forced to be something and someone I wasn't able to be me. So then I have a daughter that loves pink. So now I need to get over that and I need to heal. Now, is it easy for me to just go, Barry, get over it? And you're looking at me like, what the crap? Do you know what I've been through? We're our own individuals and we're walking our own path with God. And the power of the words that we say to one another should be uplifting, should be encouraging, should be forgiving. It should be full of love. I do not know the individual path of everyone in this room. I don't. But I do know that I can be a part that encourages and loves and lifts up. Words are every single part of our whole entire life. God's word is powerful. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. Now here's a interesting question. Anybody ever been online and there's a conversation that is absolutely negative, but you decide to read all the comments anyway? Yeah. Thank you, James. And then, do you ever find yourself getting more mad? Half of the people, you don't even know them. They're all over the United States or the country or the world. And you're on social media. And they're talking about the person you don't like in the political arena. And then, because you want to, you read all the comments. And then there becomes that comment that sparks this conversation to this conversation. And if you were all in a room, there would be fire. Correct? Yet we still keep reading them, do we not? And it's making you more angry and more angry and more angry. Yes, you exactly, Jay. You make one little comment, and all of a sudden, below there, you've got 175 replies. And you're like, so much for my opinion. I'm thankful you're in Russia. Okay, can we control what other people think and say? No, 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 no. Do you get defensive when somebody says something to you and you're like, and you want to justify it, and you want to defend yourself? Hey, I'm guilty. I'm absolutely guilty. Exactly, fighting words. But at the same time, the Bible says a quiet tongue heals many. Is it easy to do that? Of course. Exactly. It's not. It's not easy. Exactly. Or if often I have started thinking of different things and thought, wow, I'm just going to pray for you. And or have you guys, if one of Joshua's favorite movies was Bolt, and one of the characters says, and we'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. We'll put a pin in that. So I have found myself lately thinking, and I'm going to put a pin in that. I don't know. We're going to come back to that. I'll pray for you. Social media is one of those things that can literally destroy us as well. It can, because we depend on each other's opinions and thoughts. We depend on what it is. If Richard walks up after church today and goes, really, that's what you chose to speak on again? I can let it ruin my day. Or I can look and go, well, this is what the Lord put on my heart. This is what I can't let go of. So you're going to have to talk to him about it, not me. Now I'm not going to hold it. Because now if I hold it, I own it. If you hold what is said, you own it. And then it owns you. And then after it owns you, you decide that's who you are. God didn't say that's who you were. God didn't say that you were Keith's opinion of the shoes you chose to wear that day. God didn't say that that was who you are. God didn't say you were a failure. Are you going to fail? Yes. That doesn't mean you're a failure. Are you going to succeed? Why is it? Why is it that we can fail at something and call ourselves a failure, but we succeed at something, but we really don't call ourselves a success? Why? Why can we fail 3 times at something and then get it and have success, but you don't call yourself Pastor D, the successor? I am successful. You say, I failed. I'm such a failure. Why? We need to change our thinking. We need to change the way we see things, we hear things, and how we respond to things. There's this little book that I picked up at Smith's. This is how encouraging a word can be. Thanks for being one of the world's best blessings. Praying you know how much you bless others today and every day. Who would want to hear that from somebody? Or we could tell somebody, thanks for being one of the biggest jerks in the world. Praying that you know that you really are a jerk. Anybody want to hear that? I mean, it's a bold statement, but it's true. Do you want to hear that? And why do we want to say it? Or why do we want to think it about others and ourselves? Self-encouraging. I feel a hallelujah coming on. I have looked at this and looked at this. I love it. It means something different to everybody. I feel a hallelujah coming on. Woo-hoo, we're going to dance. Funny. Funny, encouraging. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Well, there goes my plan. Know what? I'm going to pray anyway and trust him because it's for a good cause. It's for you. It's cute and it's funny. I have a couple of wonderful books that I love. Why do we have books? Because there's words. Why do we have songs? Because there's words. What do they do? They either can uplift us or tear us down. In James 4:2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask. The reason I'm going to read this one to you is because I want you to understand how personal God is. Here I am, Lord, coming to you to ask you to fill my needs, to help me to support my family financially. God, you know these are hard times. You know how much money this household needs to function each day, each week, and each month. Hear my prayer and help me to do my part in providing for my family. I thank you for this roof over our heads, and now I humbly beseech you to help us meet our needs. It's a simple prayer from a simple book that cost me 99 cents. But all the prayers in this book are so personal, and the words are what the words coming from my heart to God. The healing. People begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Matthew 14, 35 and 36. Lord, when I connect with you, how positive of a sentence is that? Lord, when I connect with you, when my body is filled with you and your power and your love, nothing can harm me. I am healed from within. Fill me now with your presence. Heal my body, my soul, and my spirit. I praise you, your name, for you are the one that heals me, saves me, loves me. Thank you for giving me my life. Are those not the kind of words we want to be able to speak to God, to speak to each other? I'm going to end with a book that I found quite a while ago, and I go back to it a lot. It's called Praying the Scriptures Over Your Children. And I have found that it's not just for praying the scriptures over your children. I'll get to that in just a second. I've always seen prayer as a natural part of the parenting process, and I have always prayed for my children. But for many years, my prayers tend to run along the lines of, God bless Johnny. I'd ask God to help my kids on their spelling test, protect them on field trips, and restore their health when they got the flu or ran a fever. Rarely, though, did my prayers get more creative than that, and almost never did I see that they had any actual real punch. And then I got involved with a different group, the author says, called Moms in Prayer. On the basis of scripture, verses like John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. If you remain in me and my words, power of words. And then in Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified, I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. Verses like Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, can be reworked into terrific prayers for how your kids treat each other. Now, this one I have prayed over several times over my kids. I pray that Joshua and Isabella would be kind and compassionate toward each other, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave them. Verses like 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of the pure heart. It can serve as a prayer for the friends your children choose. I pray that Isabella and Joshua would flee from evil desires and pure righteousness, faith, love, and peace, and join the company of children who will call on the Lord and have pure hearts. Now, what does all of this really have to do with words? The Bible is your best friend. You can pray over everything and anything using the scriptures in the Bible. When I would pray for people that they're just having a hard time, that they can't see what they can be and who they are. And Frina, I'm going to use you for this, darling. Remove the veil from Frina's eyes so that she can see the light of the gospel. Shine your light in her heart to give the light of the knowledge of your glory in the face of Christ. That's from 2 Corinthians 4, 4 through 6. This book is amazing, and I have like four others of them that are just like this, that we can pray the scriptures for different people. So my family, the four of us, decided that we are going to start doing that about a year, year and a half ago. So we just had people, whoever popped up in our mind, and we would start saying these, you know, these prayers for whoever. So Joshua would take a turn and say his friend Sebastian. Let Sebastian use his gifts to serve others, faithfully administering your grace in its various forms, so that in all things you will be praised and receive glory, Lord, from 1 Peter 4:10. Our words can have the power to change people's lives. We can change our families' lives. We can change our friends' lives. We can change our lives. Show JD how to use my gifts and talents wisely, being faithful with the abilities you have given me, Matthew 25:21. I can pray over myself. Give Kyle a sense of destiny and show him that you set him apart and appointed him with gifts and talents even before he was born, Jeremiah 1:5. The power of our words can be dictated over our children, over our family, over our coworkers. If you have an ornery coworker, pray. Pray for that coworker. Watch the miracles that God is going to do. If you have just anybody in your life that just gives you crap all the time, pray for them. Because you get to be the audience that watches what God does to shape that person here. And maybe, just maybe one day, they're going to be sitting next to you. And you're going to have a testimony of, nah, dude, I did not like you. But I watched what God did for you. Because God asked you to pray for them. There's a gal at one of my grocery stores. She is ornery. She is so ornery. But I noticed as I go in every week, and I purposely say, hey, Melissa, how's your day going? And I say it with that upbeat because our tone makes a big difference too. Our tone makes an absolute big difference. Hope your day is good. Have a fabulous day. Is there a big difference? Huge difference. There's a huge difference in our tones. There's a huge difference in our facial. There's a huge difference when you're texting it and nobody can see your emoticon that says, I'm really seeing, no way, that's amazing. Not, wow, great for you. Nothing happened like that for me. We read into too many things. Sometimes text and email have done us a huge disservice. Why do you think they came up with emoticons? Seriously. But our voice and our voice flexions and the things that we say, the things that and how we say it matter. The things we speak over our life, we are prophesying over our life. We are prophesying things into people's lives that we love. They, oh, geez, okay, can you even believe that Jordan took that job? Wow, failure right there. What did we just do? And Kay turns and agrees. Well, you know what the Bible says? Where two or three are gathered, they're in agreement. Works both ways, folks. We can stand in Jesus and agree. Jordan's going to do great at that job, going to open the door, going to be right where Jordan is supposed to be. God is going to open doors for Jordan. God is going to bless Jordan. Or we can go, oh my God, Jordan is going to fail. And what did we do? We opened a door here for Satan to walk right in and destroy, and we gave curses. And these are true, whether you want to hold them and believe them or not. It's all in that Bible. Or we can open doors that God says, you will go through and you will succeed. I have favor with you, with me, favor with men. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. The power of our words are so powerful that I want to take the passion I have for it and just drop it into every single one of you. So you realize when we go downstairs to have hot dogs and we sit down and somebody says, Lee, how's your work been? Or how is house hunting going? And Lee turns and goes, oh, it's the hugest pain. I hate it. I'm never going to find a house. Or when we go downstairs and we have hot dogs and we're all visiting, and I say, hey, Keith, how are things going? He's like, you know what? They're really turning around. Things are really awesome, and they're doing well. I do need prayer for this. And then we get to pray for Keith and uplift Keith. And I'm not speaking. That's not what Lee said. I'm just using that as an example. He is house hunting, and we've been praying for him to find a fabulous house. And, you know, it might be not the first one or the 12th one, but it'll be there. Well, we got to just, yes. We went house hunting. Heather and I went house hunting for 2 years. Yes, you heard me right. 2 years. And after a while, it gets daunting. But those are the times that you need to pick up the phone and say, I need to be encouraged. Use your own words to tell people what you need. We are not mind readers. Exactly. Speak up. If you're having a bad day, how can anybody help you if you don't say, I'm having a bad day. I just need to feel like I matter. And instead of turning and going, what do you mean? Of course you matter. Look at all these people who love you. Look at your support system. And your voice gets really high and squeaky and you sound judgmental. You're not in that person's place. Use the power. This is a superpower. Use your power of your words to say, all right, well, can I give you a hug? I'm not really sure what to say, but I do know that I love you. I love you right where you're at. Don't be afraid to say, I'm not sure what to say. Don't think you have to be a super Christian and know exactly verses like this. God says to write the verses on our heart for us to be ready in season and out. But God also knows that we're human. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be. But what I am saying is don't put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect. Be the perfect person that you can be in who you are and use your words for power. It's power. I cannot express enough that words will change your life and that we have the power to change it for good or for bad. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a superhero. I thought, Batman, no way. He's just got cool toys and a belt. Well, that's out. Spider-Man's pretty cool. He can climb walls. Superman's awesome. He can, fly. Exactly. Wonder Woman has an invisible jet, so I decided just to, and she's got that lasso. That lasso's really cool. So I decided to make all three of them one superhero. But that was cool, Jay. That was cool. But when we get down to it, honestly, we can be our own superhero in our own lives. We can be. We can be the superhero to our kids and our nieces and our nephews and our brothers and sisters and our parents, to our best friends, to the people that we see only on Sundays, to the people we see at work. We can be our own best friends. We can have that power. We can watch people change. We can see the God softness in them. Change the power of your words. Change your course of simple conversation. Change. I promise you, you'll see change in your own life. When you wake up and you say, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be a great day. I've got 1,000 things on my plate today. But thank you, Lord, I don't have to do it alone. Thank you, Lord, that I am not alone. Thank you, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we're going to go in prayer, Lord, that we just thank you for the power of your words, that this book would not have been written and we would not have a place to come. We would not have a place to gather. We would not be a family if we didn't have your words, if we didn't have the power of words, Father. We thank you, Father God, as we speak the own prophecies over our own lives and over individuals around us and over our kids and nieces and nephews and spouses and friends and co-workers, all above, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we have the ability to have a superpower, and that power is your words, the words that can encourage, that can lift up, that can heal, that can make someone feel like they matter, or that they're right, they're wonderful right where they're at. We thank you for the opportunity, Father God, as we go through this week, that, Lord, that this just didn't touch us or move us a little bit, but your word changed us. Your word changed us, that we have passion for words. Words of power that lift and move and encourage and educate. We thank you for the power of song. That as we sing our next song, Father God, and we take communion, that we really realize the words that we're saying, the words that we're singing, the words that uplift us. We thank you, Father God, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.